welcome to Only Blues Ministries Christian Center right here in Kingston, Ohio. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to encourage you, like I told you, that I am aware of the fact that God is increasing our level. I promise you, I'm glad about it because I think that the more love that you give to God, the more you can believe for the supernatural gift that you deserve. I will tell you that Christ saw so you are my friend. And I promise you, if you believe this, to step to the next round of life. I want you to know that I've got so many reports just in the last week of how people who do this kind of business have been stretching for dollars and dollars and dollars. And I want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for that. And I just want to thank also those guys who brought the blessing with you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, we're going to step right into this morning. I'm looking at beer. It's such a blessing that they can be the first in the church. If you're going to see the responsibility to take this, I'll tell you what, I was fired up this week because you received a message that encouraged me that someone within a loving conference had a reduced and he was just simply not asked to go to prayer for somebody. What you are really doing is you don't really pray. It's the final step. It's the prayer before you ask. And today we're going to see you all this freedom of the new Christian name. Hallelujah. So, we're just going to keep driving and driving. We're going to keep building and building. We're going to do my message tonight. I'm going to find it to be open, silent, and rest to the scripture before I tell you where I'm going to. I don't think you can stay with me. I don't think you can. But I just want to know that God is listening and that you are right. That God is going to help you love you. That you might from this point forward to the heaven. So let's just take a step into worship together. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. hold anything back from Him. Open every area of your heart. Maybe a place tonight that you've never given Him before.
When we raise our faith, it's not that we're weak. It's a sign that we give everything to the Lord and we surrender. That we've given it to Him. That we're available. We'll drop it on us tonight. We'll have you ready. Thank you.
Thank you.
that he unites with humanity, because you do not fight against you do not fight against man and to the natural things that you see, but there are principalities, powers, and things all around you that you need the help of God to overcome. And I want you to know that you are not normal humanity. As a child of the living God, you are a brand new creature. In fact, God says that you are peculiar or unique or special people that are part of a royal priesthood. And you are not just a natural person wandering through this life with no hope and no future. You are the supernatural children of the living God. And I really want us to understand something, that sometimes we forget that we are not sojourning on this journey by ourselves or in our own strength. Oh, see, the Bible says that when we are saved by God, we are no longer our own. It said we've been bought with a price. We actually become the supernatural place where God himself resides on this earth. I want to just read some scripture to you tonight and remind us, hallelujah. Boy, tell you what, right now I got to breathe a little bit and figure out how I'm going to, by the Holy Ghost, bring this down to the things that God is going to just release in us tonight. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And some of these scriptures I read to you, we're just going to be there for a moment. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctifies you, separates you, sets you apart, delivers you, brings you out of a place, and sanctifies or sets you apart." And it says that he does it wholly. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." You know that the Lord is saying that for every aspect of your life and nature, he has the supernatural attached to you. See, when the Lord says, "I sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body," he's speaking to the regeneration of your inward man, your spirit, that now takes the responsibility to lead you and guide you. And actually, God's expectation is that your soulish, emotional realm and your physical body and nature gets in unity with your spirit to serve God. Well, I thought that faith isn't an emotion. It's not, but let me tell you something. Your emotions can be infused by your faith. Listen, when you are sitting here and worship comes upon you and you begin to weep, or the presence of God comes, or you hear the testimony of someone and it just causes you to begin to cry, listen, that's not just phony baloney. That is the revelation of the spirit, the nature, the love, and the kindness of God in you that is becoming sensitive to the realm of the king. Hallelujah. I want you to know something, that we are not supposed to be led by our emotions, but I will tell you that your emotions and who you are going to be touched by your faith and by the presence of God that resides in your life. Amen? Now listen, the Lord will sanctify us spirit, soul, and body. And I just want to remind you of a couple things that I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we will forget. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this: "He that is spiritual," verse 15 I'm reading from, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15, it says, "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may be in, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Uh-oh. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes if we're not careful, especially under pressure, under the difficulty of life, under disappointment, under sudden negative moments that impact us, if we're not careful, we will forget that we are spiritual. And because we're new creations in Christ, we actually have the mind of Christ. Now let me tell you something. You don't get to relax because I said you have the mind of Christ. What that means is that you in your safe state have the capacity to fill your spirit and fill your heart with the faith that was in Christ Jesus. You have the right to have the mind of Christ. But if you're going to have it in the capacity that the Lord wants you to have, did Jesus just get to drink milk and play frisbees and go fishing? No, it says that even at 12 years old, Jesus was in such pursuit with God that Luke 2:49-52 says that he went and he grew in favor with God and with man. How did he grow in favor? He got the scripture and put it in him. How do we know what the mind of Christ was like? Well, because even when the devil came and was in the wilderness trying to afflict him, what did Christ reveal to us? That the way he beat the devil was he says, my mind is filled in my heart and in my spirit with the word of God to the degree that even though I am face to face with Satan, the prince of this world, and he's taking me up to a high place and he's tempting me, even though Satan himself is directly in opposition of me, I'll tell you how to win. It is written. I want you to know he always had a word in him. Get thee behind me, Satan. And he also had a word for those that came for him to help. Hey, only believe. My Father's with us. Let's go. And I will pray and we will see and you will have. Amen? When we have that mind of Christ, we have got to remember that if we will fill our spirit with scripture, God will help us in every way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that tonight, God is releasing a realm of faith in us that if we grab a hold of it, it's going to take us to a new place of glory. I want you to know that God is excited about your journey. He's excited about where you're at. But I want you to understand in no way, shape, or form have you come to the end of what God wants to produce in your life. Each day, in all honesty, you are just at the beginning of a moment where God himself will infuse your life with the next thing he has. Amen? We have the mind of Christ. We've been renewed, refreshed, and we have, therefore, the potential to walk in the Christ-like victories of this life. Remember, the Lord didn't say, I'm going to give you a little tidbit of life. He said, no, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. I will give you more than enough for the battles, for the frustrations, for the difficulties, and for the things that come against your life. Did the Bible say that the Lord will make you a conqueror? See, I wanted to say no. The Bible says that the Lord will make you more than a conqueror. Amen? It's like Regina. One day I realized that she was more than a conqueror because she went to work and worked hard. And I'm not taking anything away from her. But I also want you to know that Friday after I worked hard, I came in and I was feeling strong. And I brought the paycheck that I made from my work. And she opened her hand and I put it in there. And I said, wait a minute. I'm the one that was working the overtime. I'm the one in the hot heat sweating and da-da-da-da-da. But the truth was, when she came home, the more than conqueror just stretched her hand out. And all of my sweat and work went into her hand. Amen. But I want you to know that God will give you the advantage in this life you live. I want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And I really want this to dwell in your spirit for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16, it says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, I want to tell you that in Romans 8, 9, we're not going to turn there, but I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Romans 8, 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh." Now, what that means is that are we still here living and breathing in our natural bodies? Yes. But what this scripture means is that you are not in the flesh. In other words, you are now birthed and made alive in your spirit. You're born again. You're brand new. And as a result, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory. I want you to know that the advantage that you have, even over those who went before you in the Old Testament, the Bible says that now that Jesus has come, he is the governor or orchestrator of even a better covenant. And what that means is that God has now restored you so deeply that you physically have the Spirit of God able to reside in you as the Lord's child. And what that means is that when we get that revelation, it'll start letting you know that it's not just you that is starting to sense when we're pleasing God or not. It is the Spirit of God in you in such unity with you that God can speak to you out of that intimate relationship. This literally means a whole new revelation of understanding what it means to hear God say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you and even in you." Amen? This is the revelation of where Jesus said, "Listen to me. I know that you have been blessed with me physically living my life here with you." He said to his disciples, "I know that you've been blessed." But he looked at them and said, "But I want you each to understand something. It behooves you. It's critical. It's absolute necessity. And it's better for you that I physically leave you at this moment. Because when I go through what I'm going to go through, it's for your benefit so that there's no separation between you and the Father in heaven." Jesus said, "When I do what I do for you, it's going to empower you that you can pray directly to your Father in my name, and he will hear what you have to say." Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to know something. That the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. And if God be in you, then who can be against you? And if God be in you, then if you will make the right choice, you cannot be defeated, you cannot be overtaken, and you will come out with a victory. Man, I've been hearing this now almost every day. At some point I hear this: greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. When our circumstances are raging up against us, when we start to hyperventilate, when we start to get frustrated, when we start to get scared, intimidated, discouraged, when we start to give up, when we start to be afraid of that report that may be coming our way, I'm telling you that at that moment, we need to remember that I have a right to make a decision. Whose report will I believe? Listen to me, I'll tell you 1,000 times that I thank the doctor for what he's telling me out of all of his medical wisdom, but I want every doctor to know that at the end of his influence, his insight, and his help, which we fully respect and appreciate, I want you to know that at the end of his wisdom and at the end of our own wisdom is where our heart should get stirred more than ever with the excitement that now this is going into the Father's hands, which is beyond the touch of what humanity can do by ourselves. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you that the Lord is going to just really speak to us here, I believe, in these next few minutes, because I believe that God wants you to be stirred to understand some things and just reach to the next place that God has for you. I want to read to you something out of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 10. And when he was alone, meaning Jesus, with they that were about him, with the 12, asked of him the parable. Now I want you to get a revelation here right away. Because it says when he was alone with a group of people and the 12. Now I want you to understand what that means.
Thank you.
say, Jesus is ready to be better. That within this season, I could reveal to you every mystery, every secret of life. This is the part of this book that we have been returning to God. This is why God says to those who believe in me, the Lord says, I have yet many things to show you that you cannot thank you. When the servant of the Lord of God was risen from the dead and God spoke, behold, his host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, which means that there could be written, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, oh my God, these horses and chariots are out there. What are we going to do? This is desperate. We're going to die. Our lives is in danger. These people are going to kill us. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with us. And Elisha prayed, now this is what he said. Wait. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord, and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness, and put them in the water. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, needless thing to see. Follow me, and I will bring you to the land of the living. And he led them to Samaria.
Remember that you have been thank you. Lord, I pray that you would that God would remove the stop-off when reports come that God break the power of dread to keep us focused on the God, I pray that Lord, we would be thank you.